may be seated as we continue this morning. If you have your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 1. And thank you guys for leading us this morning. You did an amazing job. Mike, would you mind grabbing me another stool? And maybe bringing that. Would you bring out the board too? Thanks. Acts chapter 1, we're going to read from this morning. And you know, we've been, kind of unintentionally, we've been studying through the book of Acts, which is odd that we'd be in Acts chapter 1 this morning, but you guys remember a few weeks ago we did a series called Tapestry, and we were looking into the kind of the formulation of the church and how God has woven us together from multiple different threads. And when we were doing that, we kind of started in about Acts chapter 6, and we just kind of moved through 6 and 7 and 8 and 9, and then we kind of picked up 10 a couple of weeks ago. And so I realized we probably needed to backtrack and pick up the beginning of the book since we were halfway through it. And so we're going to read today out of Acts chapter 1, and I really had thought that we were finished with this series, What Now?, looking into understanding what God's will for our life was. But when I read Acts chapter 1, I realized there were several more things that the Holy Spirit was saying to us. And so I want to address that, and that question. I got to ask that question this week. How do you know? When you're serving, when you're in bad times, how do you know? Are you supposed to bail or are you supposed to persevere? How do you really know? And so hopefully we can look this morning at some of the things that we do, the kind of ways we mess it up. You know, the ways that we mess up finding God's will for our life. So hopefully you have your Bible or, you know, your phone or whatever you use to for the word this morning. And we'll start reading in verse number 1. The writer here is Luke, the same guy who wrote the gospel, Luke. And so he says, in my former book, Theophilus, so he's writing to this guy named Theophilus. It says, in my former book, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Then they gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. What an awesome passage of scripture. I mean, there's just so much theology, and it's just rich with a lot of instructions. But really, for those of us seeking God's will, this was a difficult time for the disciples because they were facing really traumatic circumstances. I mean, here their rabbi, the rabbi that they had followed, they had served for 3 years, dedicating their life, not just kind of circumstantially or peripherally. They had literally given up their past lives, walked away from their businesses, and decided that they were going to pursue this rabbi named Jesus. And so for 3 years, they were following him around, and they were learning from him, and they were gaining this momentum, and crowds were coming, and a new movement was beginning. And now he died and was resurrected and was telling them that he was going to leave and he was going off to heaven. And so this was a difficult time for the disciples to try to make sense of. Wait a minute, what about the last 3 years? You know, I mean, Jesus. And they had to have been asking a lot of questions, and in fact, they were. And I think that when we read through it, we can sometimes get caught up in the theology of the coming of the Holy Spirit and all the amazing things that means, and we can really miss the circumstances that were directing the lives of the disciples, because we're really in the situation of the disciples, and we're in the situations in our lives where we've got to make these tough decisions. And I love what Jesus said to him in verse number 4. Let's back up to that, just if you'd put that back up. I love when Jesus is talking to him here, and he says, hey, listen, here's my instructions. I'm going to give you some instructions. Here's what it is. Do not leave Jerusalem. I don't want you to leave, but I want you to wait here. And I imagine you and I, we read that, it's easy just to kind of glance over it. But if you were the disciples right then, you'd been like, wait a minute, what? Again, so many times God said things that were completely the opposite of what he was supposed to say. Why is he telling them not to leave? Because if you remember, and if you, whether you do or not, the disciples certainly would have remembered that just a few days before this, Jesus had given them the exact opposite instructions. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, that we call it the Great Commission. But if you remember, what did Jesus say to them? He says, I want you to go into all the world. Because he looked at it right at his disciples. It says, you go into all the world, preach the gospel, make disciples of all nations. And so first God says go, now he says don't go. First God says, I want you to leave. Now he says, I want you to stay. And it's so confusing. And maybe you have been in those moments of your life where you felt like, God, I am absolutely confused. Have you ever felt like you just didn't know what he wanted? Like you were trapped in a circumstance and you were doing the right thing, but the right thing wasn't working out. So you're like, God, you know, first you say go, now you're saying, I'm completely confused. And then look at what he says as he continues. He says, do not go, or do not leave Jerusalem. But then he says, but wait. See, one of the ways that we mess up in hearing God's voice and in finding God's will is by moving too fast. And you see this, we see this all the time. Some of you are probably more prone to it than others. You may be very impulsive or impetuous, and I get a new idea and you just jump for it. And others of you are probably a bit more planned and meticulous in how you approach life. But all of us can make the mistake where we move too quickly. See, I think that we've been going through this talk now for several weeks, and we said that the first thing of understanding God's will is you've got to discover. And we looked at Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, where Paul says, listen, whatever you do, whether when you do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, whatever you do becomes God's will. He will be with you, and he will bless whatever it is that you do when you do it in the name of Jesus. So we said that God's will is a way, that when we live in the ways of God, that we will be in his will, that God's will is not the solution to a problem, but it's a strategy for your life. It's a way for us to orient and live our life, to make a commitment that we're going to live in the ways of God, that we're going to love people like God said to love. And we're going to be generous like God said to be generous. And the problem, I think, sometimes is we want to get these steps, we want to move too quickly, and we want to get them out of order. Like, we want to start to move to step number two, where it says we want to begin to literally do something and submit ourselves to God. We said that we actually will find God's will by surrendering ourselves to do what he's already told us to do. Well, sometimes we want to do this. This is kind of where the disciples were. They were ready to go, man. They were ready to take all out into all the world. But because, listen, you can't begin to do until you've actually oriented your life around the ways of God. So there are these steps that you've got to move through. And the problem I think most of us have is we get these steps out of order. Like, maybe you're the type of person who you have an opinion about everything and you always have an answer. I'm kind of like this. You know, like, if you ask me something, I feel like I always know what's going on. If you're not this person, you certainly know someone like it. And if that's you, you might be prone to wanting to do something before you have submitted your life to living the way of God. See, we want to know what God wants for our relationship. We want to know what God wants for our finances. We want to know what God wants for our career, our education, our calling, or whatever. But we can't begin to do it until we've said, God, I want to submit my way to you. And so sometimes we get those things out of order. Though I think where I see it probably the most is in step three. We said at first you submit your ways to God, and then you do the things that you already know to do. You just say, God, what you've already told me I'll do. The third thing, though, is we begin to desire God's will. We said that when we're talking about God's will, we're actually talking about what God wants. We're talking about desire, and that God will use your desires to speak to you. The problem is that most of the time, when people get God's will messed up, they're moving too quickly, and they'll get desire out of order, and they will start letting their emotions make the decision up here. And so instead of living the ways of God, they'll say things like, I don't know, it just doesn't feel right to me. Like, I don't want to serve a God who wants me to love all people, because there's some people I just can't love. And so they'll let their emotions come into play up here instead of down here. See, if you're an emotionally driven person, you're susceptible to this. And as we said last week or 2 weeks ago, God will speak to you through your emotions. But if you let your emotions jump out of order and you start using your emotions up here, you're going to miss God's will. And most of the time what people do is they want to not submit their ways to God, not do the things that they already do, because they don't want to do it. They don't have the desire to do it. And if we can slow down and get these three steps in the correct order, we can finally move to the fourth step that we talked about last week, which is where we make a decision, and we can do so in confidence because we know we're walking in God's will. And so what God told the disciples here, he said, listen, guys, slow down. Just slow down. Because what will happen is your heart will tell you to move too fast. All the time. This is something that as humanity we are susceptible to. And people know this, they figured it out, and they will pray against your emotions because they know that your heart will tell you to move too quickly in almost every circumstance. But we see it just all the time when it comes to relationships. And I've talked to people who, you know, if they were talking to a friend of theirs about the same situation that they were in, they would tell their friend, you know, hey, whoa, hey, take it slow. That's too quick. You just met this person. But when it's us, it just feels so, when you're in that moment, it just feels so right and it feels so strong. And your emotions can begin to push you to move too quickly. Love is just so irrational, and so we can just justify it to ourselves moving quickly. I think we also see it when it comes to our finances, because our emotions can play a big role in our money-making decisions, because, you know, you guys, that's why they put all the really high, yummy snacks out by the cash register, because they know you can't say no. Like, oh, yeah, I'll throw a few, just give me a couple of those, too. You know, five for a dollar, that, deal, sold. You throw them up there. Because we know that they know that our emotions will get into our financial decisions as well. Like, that's why if you're watching an infomercial, what do they always tell you? You know, if you order in the next 30 minutes, we're going to throw in an they're trying to pressure you to move quickly. And that's what we do, is when we move too fast, we often move outside of God's will. And so what did God tell them? He said, listen, I know I've told you to go into all the world, right? I'm about to launch you on this mission. It's going to radically reshape history. You don't even know how amazing this journey is going to be. But first, I want you to wait. Just slow down. Move quickly. See, if you haven't heard from God, or if you feel like you haven't heard from God, maybe you need to wait. Maybe you need to pause. And then, second step is you need to listen. The second way we miss God's will is by not listening. I think this is probably a big one. Listen, verse number 4 again, look what he says. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised. And then he says this, which you have heard me speak about. In other words, Jesus says, the disciples, you know what I'm talking about because you've been listening. Sometimes we haven't been listening. We've got to learn to listen for his voice. And Christians do some really silly things when we're trying to hear from God. I mean, we are notorious for doing some ridiculous things. You've probably done this. Anyone ever done that thing where you're like, okay, I need to hear from God, and maybe it's been a while. You know, maybe honestly, you know, between you and God, it's been a little while. And so you're like, but God, now I really need to hear you. And so you grab your Bible and you do that thing where you're just going to like, okay, God, Holy Spirit, I'm going to open my Bible. And you just be, and you do the thing where speak to me. You know, and you read it and it says like, go outside the city walls and sacrifice a male goat. And you're like, what? I mean, is this for me? Because I'm getting a little nervous. You know what? What does this mean? And we do these types of things. It's like we can do some really silly things. Or this is one that I've tried to do before. Like, I really need to get super spiritual. So you just be like, okay, God, I'm going to concentrate extra hard. And I know the next thought that pops in my mind is going to come from you and not me. You know? And so he's like, you make one of those prayer faces. If you know what I'm talking about, watch some Christian TV. You'll see the prayer face. You're like, and like the next thing, you're like trying to concentrate real hard, and someone in the other room is making noise. You're like, shut up, I'm trying to hear from God. You know? We just do some really ridiculous things when it's not going to work. And here's another one that people do all the time. I sent out a Twitter earlier this week, but people say, it's been a while. I need to hear from God. I better go back to church. People get in that situation where they're a little desperate. God needs to come through for them, so they better go back to church. And really, the Twitter message I sent out, I was like, I think it would say that church attendance is a poor substitute for spiritual vitality. I was like, whoa, that's pretty deep. Because what happens is we're like, I got to get back in church. And then here's what, you always go back to church, and then you're like, Then you remember all the reasons why you stopped going in the first place, right? Because you're like, I don't even really know those people, and I don't think they really like me, and I don't really feel like I fit in. I just don't feel like I fit in. I don't feel like I've got any friends there. And I'm like, you don't. You don't have any friends here. You know why? Because you haven't been here in 6 months, Were you here when we were pulling weeds or at the park? Were you here when we were picking up trash? Were you here when we were sitting around the campfire singing songs? No, so why do you feel like you don't fit in? Because you don't. You've got to come. And so we do, now we got to hear from God. So we have all these just silly things that we got to do. And this is the one that I think is the funniest because it's just for me. It's just, if you've been a Christian for a while, you call it laying out a fleece before the Lord. If you don't know what that is, you're probably better off, okay? Just erase it from your memory banks. But what we like to do is we like to give God a pop test. Whether or not he's playing along, we're like, okay, God, if you want me to marry this girl, I want you to knock over that mic stand right now. You just go, God. Just right. If you want me to do it, you just give God this pop test, like he's going to play along with you in this thing. And what's so funny about it is we can totally control the outcomes. If we want to do it, we can make the test really easy. Like, God, if you want me to blow off work today and go to the park with my friends, then just let me see a commercial on TV sometime in the next 15 minutes. Any commercial will do. You just speak to me, the Lord. You know, speak to me, Lord. And we can totally control. It's like so contrived, and we do all these things. But here's the thing. The disciples, they had listened to Jesus. They knew what he had taught. And so Jesus said, "Do you remember when I taught you about the Holy Spirit?" And they're like, "Oh, yeah." They had heard his words. They had honored the teachings of God. And so they had a reference point that Jesus could begin to build on and use to speak to him. What do we need to do? Is we need to begin to listen to God's word. And I know it sounds so churchy, and I know it sounds just so like, oh, well, of course, I'm in church. That's what they're going to say. But listen, the reason why is because it's true. Listen, Psalm 119, verse 105. Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light on my path. Your word. And so if you're looking for the path this morning and you feel lost and you're not sure about college or you're not sure about the relationship or you're not sure about finances or whatever it is, you know what your word, God's word will begin to illuminate your path. Wouldn't it be amazing if God would just shine a big bright light right down on the path he wants you to go? Like if you were walking in the dark and you were lost and all of a sudden you just saw this, and like, oh, that's where I need to go. And that's what the word of God will begin to do for it. God wants to communicate to you through his words. So that's why we call it the word of God. It's God's words to us. It's God speaking to us. And God's word is his guidance. And so, and it will tell us what path we need to be on. And here's the thing. We can't do what God wants if we don't know what he's saying. Sometimes it feels very complicated, but really it can be very simple. You can't do what God wants you to do. You can't be in God's will if you don't know what God is saying. So you've got to honor his word into his life. I think we see this so much with our kids, because the other day one of the mornings I have this routine I go through with Caleb, and we get up and we play for a little bit, and then we get him dressed and take him downstairs. And then I make breakfast, and usually I turn on some cartoons for him to watch whenever I'm making breakfast. And so he's watching cartoons, and I'm making breakfast, and I'm making some oatmeal. And so I sit down, and I got the things, and I'm sitting there, and I scoop up a thing of oatmeal, and I hold it up, like, "Take a bite." And he's just like watching cartoons. I'm like, "Caleb, take a bite." He's like, "Take a bite." "Caleb, take a bite." He's like, and so finally I'm like, "Caleb, take a bite." And he's like, and he looks over at me like, "What?" And he just points to the TV like, "I'm watching TV." I'm like, "I know you're watching TV. You're not listening." And I wonder if that same thing could be true of us. It's like we get in those moments, we're just not listening. Like, what if God's speaking or wants to speak to you, but yet you're just not listening? Don't get so busy that you don't hear what the Father is saying. Just don't get so busy and it's so easy to do, because for some of us, you're like, "Yeah, but I read the Bible. You know, I've read it before." Some of you have been doing this your whole life. Some of you, this is your excuse. This is probably the one I hear the most. Like, "Well, I just don't understand it." I'm like, okay, you're lying now. Because people have been reading this thing, from days where people could barely talk, you know? People were like living in like little straw huts, and they were still understood the word of God. You have a computer in your pocket that could put people on the moon, you know? You know how to don't tell me you can't understand it. To do what God wants you to do, you've got to hear what God is saying. And so one of the ways we mess it up is by moving too quickly. Another way is just by not listening. I mean, but there's a couple more. The third way that we mess it up is by not knowing where we're going. Look at what it says in verse 6. Skip down to verse 6. It says, they, talking about the disciples, then they gathered around him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" Now, for me and you, we're like, okay, they asked the question. But if you were really following along, and if you'd been living this life with the disciples for the last 3 years, you would recognize they completely did not get it. They had no idea what Jesus was doing. I mean, I'm sure Jesus looked at them like, "What are you talking about?" I mean, here's what they were asking him. They said, "Hey, Jesus, are you going to now get a bunch of people together and build an army, and we're going to launch a movement, and we're going to march against Rome and drive the Romans out of Jerusalem? Is that what we're going to do? Is this the time when you're going to restore Israel, and we're going to drive out the infidels, and we're going to repel the entire Roman army from our lands?" The army that had taken over the entire known world at the time. And the disciples like, "Hey, Jesus, are we going to fight them now?" And if you were part of it, Jesus looked at him, he's like, "You don't get it." Like, they just didn't get what Jesus was trying to do. He wasn't coming to launch a movement, to build an army, to destroy the Romans. He was coming to change hearts and lives. And so they just didn't get it. They still thought Jesus was here to overthrow a rebellion. And so here's the spiritual lesson for you. And some of you maybe have heard this in business classes or in leadership books, but it's so true spiritually. You need to begin with the end in mind. You need to, if you're writing notes, write it down. Begin with the end in mind. In other words, before you take off on something, you need to know what's your end game. Where are you headed? Where are you going? And so many times we don't know which direction, right or left, because we don't even really know where we're going. So where are you going in your relationship? What's your dreams for your marriage? Where are you headed in your finances? You know, what is your end game when it comes to your schooling, to education, to career? Because if you don't have a vision for where you want to end up, you'll never know if you're there or not. And really the truth is that when we know where we're going, the little decisions of where to turn is actually kind of easy. Like, you may not have the directions, but if you kind of know you're heading over, you know, if you're heading to Kings Island and someone says, hey, that's just east in Ohio, you can kind of know, okay, well, I'm going to start off going that direction, right? And so really turning right or left is easy when you know where you're headed. It's when you have no idea where you're supposed to end up, that making the day-to-day decisions of right or left gets so difficult. And so here's the challenge. Sometime this week, I want each of you, sit down with a piece of paper and with a pen and just begin to write down what's your end game. In different areas of your life. What is the goal for your career? Like, what do you want? What do you want of it? Are you looking for promotions? Are you happy where you are? You want to be here forever? What is your goal? 5 years, 15 years, 20 years? What about your relationships? What about your schooling? What kind of college do you want to go? If you're a high school student right now, you know, what kind of college do you want to go to? Because you've got to begin your educational path right now with knowing where you want to end up. It's not just going to happen. Single people, this is a great exercise for you. Like, if you're single today and you're thinking, man, I don't know what God wants for my relationships, here's what you need to do. Sit down and make a list. Get a vision of what kind of person you want to spend the rest of your life with. And then it gets real easy. See, once you get a vision for where you end up, it gets real easy just making decisions of whether or not you're going to date this person, because you just don't date anyone. It's not like that. If they're not like this, and they're off the list. I mean, it's really easy. Like, you're like, I don't even have to pray about this one. You know, like, I want to date a person that's like this, and this person's not. Like, here's another thing. Don't go looking for people in places where those people aren't going to be hanging out. Like, if you want to marry a good person that doesn't waste their money and makes good decisions, you may be looking in the wrong place. And so get an idea of where you want to go. Finances. It works great for your finances. Where do you want to be when you retire? Maybe you're trying to, here's one that I think is a lot. Do you want to buy a house in 5 years? Is that your goal? Okay, then what do you have to do to get there? How much money do you need to save? If you're going to have to put a down payment of 10%, what kind of house do you want to buy? Where do you want to live? And you need to begin. And then all the other financial decisions gets real easy. Because then you're in a situation where you're like, you know, you're thinking, man, I kind of want to get a new TV. Like, that flat screen's looking really good. You're thinking about it, you know, kind of would like to. So you ask yourself the question, if I buy this flat screen TV, can I still save the amount of money that I need to save for my end game, for my goal? If the answer is no, well, you don't have to pray about it. That's God's will. See, when you begin with the end in mind, you have an idea of where you're going. And so sometimes we mess it up because we just don't know where they're going. The disciples had no idea where they were going. They missed it. And then the fourth thing I think we do sometimes to really mess up hearing God's will is trying to do it alone. Look at verse number 8. Jesus says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost ends of the earth. It says you're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes to you. In other words, Jesus was saying, I know there's this great plan, right? There's this huge vision. And we're going to launch a movement. And you are going to go into all the world. But you can't do it alone. You're going to need me. See, sometimes I think we get this hero complex. Like, we want to be the one to make this great decision all by ourselves. You know, like, we summed it up and we made a decision and we moved forward and we led our family or whatever it is. You know, we made this decision by ourselves. But here's the thing. Sometimes we need a hand. We need someone to be there with us and to guide us through this process. And what I realized this week, actually, because Chloe sent me this saying, sometimes we have no idea the difference having a helping hand can make. And so Chloe sent me this week, and I thought it was amazing. It was so relevant to what we were talking about. And so put this for special, like, you guys remember this movie, right? Like, and we, because like I said, we don't understand how much a hand can change everything. Look at that, but then look at this next picture. One hand can change everything, can it? I mean, how many of you guys are like, okay, now wait a minute, I'm not sure anymore. Okay, yeah, we just don't know the difference a hand can make. It could totally change what's happening here in this picture. Mike's like, I am leaving this church. I am not coming back. You're not alone, my friend. So what do we need to do? We need a hand. We need to learn to depend on the Holy Spirit. God says, Jesus said, listen, wait for the Holy Spirit. Look what it says in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. It says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. You ever felt like you're going in circles? Circular path, like, you know, you like things crash and burn, you rekindle your relationship with God, things start to get a little bit better, and then all of a sudden your car breaks down and you lose your money and you lose your job, and now all of a sudden you're struggling again and your relationship with God is right back where it was. Or maybe you've got, you know, there's some sort of a thing in your life, something you're struggling with, a sin that's just, you fought your whole life and you've been fighting it and you feel like you're making a little progress and things are getting better and you feel closer to God. But then all of a sudden something triggers that trigger and in the moment of weakness you just crash and burn and you're right back in that same place again. And sometimes our paths aren't straight. They're all tossed and turned and up and down. And here Proverbs says, when we trust in God with all of our heart, he will make our path straight. Holy Spirit will make that path straight for you. And what I think is important is that God wanted us to recognize that the power has to come before the going. Like we achieve our dreams, we have to have that hand of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Like we have to have the power of God to be present with us. Like the power of God has to happen before the achieving of our dreams, before we can become the people that God wants us to do. In other words, you cannot do it alone. You can't. It doesn't mean that you're a terrible person. It doesn't mean that you just are just, oh, well, look at you. It doesn't mean that at all. It means how God is so awesome that you need him to walk with you. You can't do it alone. You can't achieve your dreams alone. You can't fight your addictions alone. You can't overcome your obstacles alone. You cannot do it alone. We need the Holy Spirit, but sometimes we need more than the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we need some advice. And I think a lot of times we try to do it alone and we make big decisions without ever talking to somebody. Proverbs chapter 15 says this, plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed. Sometimes you need to go get some counsel. And that's okay. I mean, you might be in a situation emotionally right now where you like need to go talk to someone about that. And that's biblical. The Bible says that sometimes you need to go and ask for some help. You might be facing a decision that you're like, I have no idea what to do. And you need to go ask for some help. But we don't want to get just any counsel. We want to get some wise counsel. Look what Proverbs 13 verse 20 says. And I love this one. He who walks with the wise grows wise, but the companion of fools suffers harms. So, you know what that verse means? That verse means stop asking your stupid friends for advice. That's what that verse means. And I know that sounds kind of harsh, but that's what that verse means. Stop asking your stupid friends for advice. I know it sounds harsh. It doesn't mean you don't love them. It doesn't mean they're not good people. It doesn't mean you don't go way back. It doesn't mean they don't love you. But what it means is this, is when you start asking the wrong people for advice, your life could get thrown off on the wrong course. Stop asking your stupid friends for advice. There's a story a couple weeks ago. It's good to see Anthony, because Anthony will tell you this. It's been a month or so ago. Remember, Anthony, I called you because I was like, hey, my truck's is not shifting gears right. And Anthony is a car guru, so I'm asking. He's like, we need to check the transmission fluid. And so I go out to my car, and I check the transmission fluid. I'm looking in there. And so I call him back, and I was like, my car doesn't have one of those. He's like, no, every car has transmission fluid. You just have to check the dipstick. And I'm looking, I'm like, no, I'm looking. I can't find it. My car doesn't have one of those, you know, hanger thingies, you know. And so finally, Andy's like, all right, I'll come over in a little bit. So he comes over and he pops the hood and reaches down in and grabs the dipstick, pulls it out and checks the transmission fluid. Now, if you are astute, here's what you should have learned from that. If you need advice about a car, I'm your stupid friend about cars. Okay, don't call me about cars, because I'm your stupid friend when it comes to cars. Doesn't mean I don't love you, doesn't mean you don't love me. We may go way back, but I'm your stupid friend when it comes to fixing up your car. And so here's the thing. You've got to quit asking your unemployed friend if they think you should get a job. You know, when you have a really, really big decision to face, you've got to begin to ask people some wisdom. Stop asking your friend who's been through like 5 divorces for relationship advice. You know, just don't ask your stupid friends for advice in that area. I mean, stop asking that friend of yours who has more credit card debt than they're probably ever going to be able to pay whether or not you should buy this new thing. Just stop asking your stupid friends for advice. And it doesn't mean you don't love them. Doesn't mean you don't go way back. Doesn't mean they don't love you. It doesn't mean they're not good people. But what it does mean is that you need to seek out wisdom for your decisions. Seek wise counsel. And here's the thing. I think we like to ask our stupid friends because we do go way back. and because they do love us. And chances are, we love them and they love us, and we go back so far that they probably know exactly what we want to hear, don't they? And so chances are, if we like to go ask our stupid friends because they're going to tell us really what we want to hear. And so here's the thing. When you're facing a situation, you're getting counsel, you need to make sure that you're asking the person who's going to be honest with you, asking the person who's going to give you the type of advice that maybe would give you the type of advice even that you don't really want to hear. Here's something. When you're asking for counsel, don't ask somebody that is intimidated by you or someone that looks up to you. And maybe don't ask somebody who you're particularly intimidated by. Because what happens if there's that thing going on where they're trying to impress you in some way, or like maybe they look up to you in some way that they may be tempted to give you advice that you want to hear because of this weirdness going on in your relationship. So when you're seeking out advice, don't ask the person for advice who is in some way intimidated or kind of looks up to you in some way. Here's another one. This is one that I've made a mistake on. Don't ask someone for advice if they are going to somehow be affected by your decision, either positive or negatively. I tell you, this is how it happened to me. I remember when I was a youth pastor way back, and I was beginning to feel the Holy Spirit was calling me to move onward and to different places. And I got a phone call from a church, and I didn't really know anything about him. The pastor's name was Greg, and it sounded like it was an amazing opportunity. And I'm like, man, what do I do? And so I went and talked to this other pastor who was also trying to hire me, but I thought I could go to him for good advice. I was like, hey, do you think I should go up here and take this position? And he said, you know, he was like, well, I don't know. I just don't know. That's a long way to move away. And like, you know, I don't know if you really want to do that. And what I really realized is that he was just kind of giving me advice because he was trying to hire me too. And so don't go asking people for advice your decision may affect them in some way. Like if it's going to, I mean, and maybe you could trust them enough, they could really be honest with you. But seek out advice from someone who is kind of independent. That's why sometimes you need to go find counsel from somebody that you really don't even know. And I know that sounds weird. You're like, why would you go just, you know, open your heart to someone you don't know? Well, it's because sometimes you need someone who can be objective and can talk you through these difficult moments of your life. And so I think there are a lot of different ways that we can mess things up. You know, we can move too quickly. We can just not listen. We can have no idea what our end game is. And sometimes we just can go to the wrong people for advice because we're trying to do it all by ourselves. We're trying to do it in our own strength. We're trying to do it without the love of a family, the support of a family. And we're trying to do it without the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. So worship team, if you guys would come back up, and I'm going to leave you with one more verse in Joshua chapter 1. Because I just think this is just another testimony to really where we've been this entire journey, starting way back in Colossians, where God says, whatever you do, do it in the name of Jesus. And God will be with you, whatever you do. How can we start with this idea that God's will is whatever? God, when you're doing it in the right heart, when you're getting these steps in order, when you're living the way of God and you're doing what you already know to do, you're beginning to allow God to direct your desires, you make a godly decision, really whatever you do at that step, at that stage, in pure heart, pure motives, God can use it. God will use that decision. And I found this verse in Joshua, and I want to read it to you. It says, "Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous?" Be strong and be courageous. See, sometimes we get down to the end of the steps. We submit our ways to God. We start doing all the things that we already know to do. We say, God, take out my desires and you put your desires inside of my heart. And we get down to that place where we need to make a decision. And then all of a sudden we get afraid. And I don't know, what if I choose the wrong school? What if I choose the wrong person? What if I choose the wrong, you know, and we just all of a sudden we have this fear. I love what God tells Joshua. He says, I've commanded you, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Then he says this, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. The Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Father, would you speak to us today? Are we maybe missing hearing your voice just because we've messed up a little bit? Maybe are we trying to do it alone? Are we trying to move too quickly? Are we trying to move too fast? Have we not been listening to your word? Have we tried to be a superhero and do it without the power of your Holy Spirit? God, is there some way where we've messed up a little? Holy Spirit, would you bring us to the place today where we can trust you and where we can step into the valley of decision without fear, and we can make a decision and we can stand strong because we know that you are with us wherever we go, that we can rest assured and with confidence that when we submit our ways to God and we serve you with our whole heart and we give our intentions and our desires to you, that when we live in the ways of God, that wherever we go and whatever we do, that you will begin to bless that path. God, today, if there's someone that's facing a decision, their journey has become very confusing. Maybe they've faced loss. Maybe they've faced difficulty. Maybe they've faced failure. But Holy Spirit, would you begin to direct them and let them know that you will go with them wherever they go. We just begin to sing that song, Spirit Lead Me.
Spirit lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger. In the presence of my Savior, Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. And take me deeper than my feet could ever wander. In my faith will be stronger in the presence.
Can we stand up together and sing that? Let's sing it again. Sing.
Spirit, lead me. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. And take me deeper than my feet could ever wander. And my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander. My faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior.
Just close your eyes this morning. See, I understand, I recognize that some of us here are facing big decisions, decisions that will impact the rest of your life, decisions that will have repercussions in your children, your family, your future. Some of you are facing those types of decisions, and it's stressful, and you don't want to screw up, and you feel like you've prayed, and you just haven't heard from God. Maybe you've been moving too fast. Have you been moving too quickly? Have you just been just rushing in, just charging in? His emotions just kind of just gotten the best of you, and your emotions were excited, and with zeal, and with exuberance, you've just kind of rushed head in. Maybe you need to slow down today. Maybe today you need to begin to listen to the word of God. Have you been neglecting God's word in your life? If you had excuses, you're too busy, you don't understand it. Maybe today you need to say, God, I need to open up my soul to your word. Maybe today you've been trying to do it alone. You've been moving forward without the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, or without the advice of wise counsel. And today you say, God, I need to open up my heart to allow the Holy Spirit to come in and just begin to guide me. Maybe today you just need to say, God, I'm going to ask somebody. I'm going to make a phone call. I'm going to get someone to talk to about this. See, the truth is we can come to a place in our relationship with God that we can decide, and we can decide with confidence and without fear, knowing that God will be with us wherever we go. That reality, that confidence is available and ready and waiting for you. Of course, the biggest decision that any of us ever have to make is, will we surrender and submit our life to God? Maybe you're even here today and you just feel like your heart has just kind of grown a little distant. Maybe the truth is you came to dialogue and you felt like, man, I'm just a little disconnected. And maybe the truth is it's because you are. If you're here today and you say, God, I'm facing a decision and I want you to speak to me. And I want to submit my life to you, and I want to get good counsel, and I want to make wise decisions, and I want to listen to your word. If you've been feeling like you've been moving too fast, and if today you say, God, I want you to speak to me. I want to say a prayer for you right now. Would you allow God's words to begin to minister to the situation that you're in? Let's pray together. Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus. And I ask that the power of the Holy Spirit would come upon us and rest upon our lives heavily. Holy Spirit, forgive us for every moment of our life that we felt that we could do it alone. Holy Spirit, forgive us for those times when we felt that we were strong enough and enabled enough in our own strength to move forward without you. God, forgive us for those moments where we have walked away from you. Forgive us, God, for our hearts growing cold. Lord, forgive us for those times where we've made decisions without consulting your word. God, forgive us for the times when we've asked all of our stupid friends for advice and then we followed it to our own destruction. God, forgive us, God, for every time when our ears have not been in tune to what you want to do with us. And Holy Spirit, today, right now, we open up our heart to you. Fill us today, God. God, fill us today, God, that we would know the power of God that can enable us to walk the path that you have stretched out for us. God, would you do inside of us today what we cannot do? Lord, I pray for those that are making relationship decisions this morning, God, that are so difficult to make. And I pray, God, that you would give wisdom and speak to them right now, guidance. And Father, may there be no fear. Father, may there be no fear, God, because you have enabled us to live a life having confidence that you are with us and blessing us. God, for those who are making decisions about their career about finances, God, for those who are making decisions, Lord, about their marriage, I pray, God, right now that you would speak divine wisdom and guidance to them. We thank you, God, for that. God, if there's anything that we need to do, if there's something that you're speaking to us, would you speak it to us right now? Some of us maybe need to make a commitment to be more a part of the family so we have some family, some friends to turn to when we're making decisions. It's all of a sudden we come to that big valley of decision and we realize we have no one to talk to. And maybe it's because you just haven't been committing to really be a part of the family. And maybe you felt a little alienated at dialogue. And maybe you felt a little bit like you're just not a part. And maybe it's because you're not. And maybe you just need to make that commitment today so you're not doing it alone. Maybe there's somebody else here this morning who you just need to say, God, I'm going to make a commitment to your word this week. I'm just going to open it up, and I'm just going to try to just dive in and allow you to speak to me. Maybe you're here today and you say, God, I need to commit my life to you. And I've been walking my own path, and today I want to give myself to you 100%. Will you make that decision right now? We bless you, Father. Thank you for that, Father. Now, Father, as we wrap this time up, I pray, God, that you would take the things that we've learned over these last 5 weeks and press them upon our hearts and our souls, plant them deep within our mind, God, that we would not walk away from them, but they would go with us. They would transform the way that we live, that we would begin to discover, to do, to desire, and to finally decide the will of God for our life. And we thank you, Lord, for that in Jesus' name.